Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. I'm not sure this system went in and out. All right, Cynthia, if you can hear me, text me, please. Otherwise, good morning, mothers and daughters. Technology has been something this week. I don't know what's going on, and most people don't. It's working this minute, the next minute it's not working. So we just have to move with what we have. Let me see. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, we got Deborah here. Hi, Deborah.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. I mean, this system got me. Things are just moving and jumping and going out and coming back in. And I'm like, what the world? But anyway, thank God we're here. Cynthia, you connected?
I am.
Okay, Lord. Somebody prayed. Deborah prayed this morning.
Amen. Oh, my Lord Jesus, I just thank you. Deborah?
Oh, I thought you said I prayed this morning. Oh, you mean pray. Okay, pray again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm used to her saying, would you give us the prayer? I'm just off. I'm off. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the connection. We thank you that you're able to do all things but fail. We ask that you come before us. Give us what we need, Lord, to do your will, your way, and give you glory, Lord, for any results that you already preordained. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. No, I'm saying the system just going in and out some, and it was acting crazy. I said, Lord, help us, Deborah, please pray. And so we will say, you're waiting on you to say something. Oh, it's a good day. That means something extraordinary is going to happen today because we're going to speak it, and I guarantee you before the end of the day, I'll be calling y'all and telling y'all something extraordinary happened this day, a major blessing. All right. With that being said, Cynthia, how was your weekend? How are you feeling?
Well, I feel fine. I'm determined to be fine. I feel fine. Thank you. Not even going to give it voice. It's just I'm determined and that we're going to go with that. God knows. He's the only one that knows what's happening. And so I'm trusting him, being that I can't trust man because they're skipping down the road and life is happening. But it's okay. When I say they audience, I'm talking about the people who you rely on to take care of your health. It's a long story. I won't even get into it, but thank you, God, that I am fine this morning. I had a productive week. We're into another semester. All is well. I dare not complain. All is well. I'm just moving forward and trusting God with my life and my health. In Jesus' name I pray. That's how my week was.
No, right, all right. That's what I'm talking about. Look on the
Amen. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of me. So I have what I need to rise above the influence of the enemy.
Yeah. Go like the eagle, honey. Go up above the storm.
Yes. Yes.
Deborah, how was your week?
Yes. Well, my week was nothing extra. We got another audit or continuation of an audit. Started last year. They're coming back. So just sitting in there, you know, playing with papers and just making sure the files are, you know, according to what they want. So it's just been like more like a center office, work on the project, and just waiting to, you know, get to the next level, whatever it is. We got some new management, new CFO moved up, and so there's some changes for the better, you know, with different things in our program. So I'm excited about his leadership. He's been with us for a while in different capacities, so I'm excited about that. So it's been a fairly average week, but productive. Like Cynthia would say, I dare not complain.
I think that's what we all better say. We're here on Saturday mornings and, you know, God allow us to get through 6 days and get back here, you know what I mean? So, I mean, what is there to complain about? You made it through. Made it through. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. And my week
How
was
your week?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, my week was, it was good. It was good. Choppy, kind of like, you know, ups and downs, some spices and spikes in it, and some attacks that just kind of came out of nowhere. A lot of counseling with people that's going through it. You know, it's sort of like a similar spirit that kind of roams around. And it seems like when my clients have one problem, it seems like several of them have the same kind of issue. And I'm thinking, what is it? Is it a wave or it's a spirit that's going through the air and kind of coming around, and I'm the common denominator? You know, you just kind of wonder, because really most of us are going through the same type of transitions and periods and attacks. And a lot of people, you know, may not say anything, or you may not know somebody else's troubles. But when you think about it and you talk to people like I'm talking to during the weekend, and I'm counseling to 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, sometime after 10, and I'm just like, oh, my God, you know, it's just the same thing. But we get over it. We find out what, you know, we can do and pray on it, and the Holy Spirit give us some kind of guidance, and we take that and we move on. But, you know, as far as the ministry and all those things, everything is going really good. We finish our project. Mothers and Daughters out there, we are doing the Matriarch Now project. It's a fundraising project. And our goal is to raise $250,000 to build this project out and get it where it will then be an investment to make money for the organizations. So with that being said, I will be sending out to friends, families, asking them to donate. And what you do, you will donate to the ministry, and then you'll get to take a vacation on us. I like that. You will get to take a vacation. So we are on Matriarch Now. That's MatriarchNow.com. MatriarchNow.com. And the good thing about this, Deborah and Cynthia, is that, say, for instance, we want quality time vacations. You know, we've been talking, we do quality time products. We are talking about quality time vacations here, where a mother and daughter can just get away. And for $49, they can just call and make them a reservation at a hotel and stay Friday night and Saturday night and come back home on Sunday just to get away. But then we're not going to limit it just to mothers and daughters, you all. We're going to allow friends to do it because it's a fundraiser. If you and your friend want to go off for the weekend, or, you know, you and your husband, it's not limited. It's a mother and daughter gift, and we would like for the female to be a member. So you come in and you join the membership, and then you are allowed to take whoever you want to take your children. Some of them you could take your children. So it's just amazing. It's up. It's beautiful. And I want to give a shout out to Charlie. Charlie really put that together. I am so impressed. I'm telling you guys, send us Charlie, and Charlie is amazing at what we need to do and how to get it done. So with that being said, go to Patriot now. I don't care when you're listening to it. It's on our website. Go to it. Look at it. If you make a donation, get your vacation, and then plan it. All you got to do is register your vacation in 30 days, and then you got 2 years to take it. So it's not a rush. You can hold on to it. You can plan it out. You know, some people like to plan 6 months, 8 months out. You can plan it out to whenever you want to go. So other than that, ladies, that's where we are. We are now in the midst of a fundraiser. A fundraiser. So here we go. That's my week. And the magazine, finishing that up, the magazine, Mother and Daughter Bonding magazine, we are still looking for that cover, someone to be on the cover of the magazine. So if you hear something, know something, we're looking for somebody that, you know, that going to be a mother and daughter story that's going to be a blessing to other mothers and daughters. I am trying to finalize that today, and that's where we are with that. And hopefully we have all this done within the next 2 weeks and get the magazine out no later than the last of the month. So, ladies, that's our journey for this week. And today our topic is mothers and daughters, how is your love life? How is your love life? And I'm not talking about your love life with a mate. I'm talking about your love life with each other. So I'll be right back, Cynthia and Deborah, and I'll get your opinions and what the Lord is telling you in your hearts, okay?
Okay.
You know, when I got up this morning, I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what are we talking about today? I'm telling you, I know it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was me. I was so drained, I guess, because I didn't go to bed about 2. And I got my clock to wake me up at 3 o'clock prayer. And I mean, by the time it went off at 8:30 this morning, I was like too tired. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what is it? Okay, what are we talking about? And I'm sure he was telling me something, but I was just so drained. I don't know why I do that to myself, audience. Instead of just going to bed, I just pitter-patter doing this and that and the other, and before you know it, time has gone by. So I was just like, okay, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Couldn't hear a thing. And so I said, well, I'll go ahead and give me some coffee and I'll go talk to the Lord a minute, come back, and still didn't know. And all of a sudden, you know, I was saying, it came in my mind, I thought I was saying it to myself, you know. I was like, okay, well, is this, because I was listening to this doctor this week and she was talking about the 5 L's, and I've got to get her name, but the 5 L's, and she's 103 years old. And it just resonated in my spirit. And all week I've been listening to it before I go to bed at night, when I get up in the morning. Just go to YouTube and Google 103-year-old doctor. And then you will see that it's a, 1 second. I'm on the radio, I'll call you back. That was the bishop calling. But anyway, I went and I looked at it and I listened and I listened and I listened. And it was just so much. She said, life is so simple. Life is so simple. So I was like, well, Holy Spirit, is that what I'm supposed to talk about? So I'm wrestling with this because I don't want to talk about anything that the Holy Spirit doesn't, you know, resonate in my spirit to tell me to talk about. And I said, well, is this it? So when Cynthia called me and said, it says there's no show, I was just pushing the button. And I guess that between that and time had resonated that I was supposed to be on and was going back and forth. And I was just saying, okay, is this one? And the Holy Spirit said, I sent the message to you. Of course you can talk about it. But that's not the way I usually get it, see. So sometimes, what am I saying with this? I'm saying sometimes we think that maybe we're missing the Holy Spirit or missing the message. But if you think about it, if you're led by the Holy Spirit and you trust in God, have faith in God to know that if you ask the question, he's going to answer you. Lean not to your own understanding. And don't press about your feelings. Because the way I felt this morning, I'm getting results of my own action. I should have took myself to bed knowing that I had to get up this morning and be ready to preach the gospel. So that's a lesson learned, because I usually try to go to bed early enough on Saturday night, or if I'm speaking somewhere, I try to go to bed early enough so that I can have some kind of cognizance or sense of being and hearing the Holy Spirit. So I was getting what I put out there. It's the consequences of not going bed and going to sleep. And then now you wrestling with, did I hear God or did I miss God, you know, da 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 da. And finally gave me the okay, why not? So I said, okay, so I rushed in and I put that down. And I'm just saying to you mothers and daughters, take a page out of my book. Get some good sleep. Let your body rest. And especially when you know you got to get up and speak or you got to do something the next day that's going to represent you and God. So I just wanted to put that out there because I was feeling this a little bit like, oh, man, come on, I don't want to miss God and I don't want to do anything that doesn't represent the love of Christ. And so my lesson learned, take yourself to bed on Friday nights. So anyway, so much for that. How is your love life? And so when she was saying love life and she's talking about the five L's. Life and love. Now, you know, if you've been on watching me for the last 15 years or the last 6 months or the last few months or weeks, I talk about 9 months, the mother and the child that is a team that's connected. And biblically, for 9 months. And that 9 months creates life. But during that period of life, if you just can imagine, it starts out as what we call a seed. The seed of human. Just like you got a seed that will grow an apple tree, turnips, watermelon, everything comes from a seed. So you got a human seed that enters the womb of the mother. And the way that seed is nurtured, it's nurtured to grow through love. So life and love are connected. And I know you might say to yourself, well, you know, I've heard some mothers say, I don't want to have this child. I don't want to be pregnant. Some abort, take the seed out, and move on and go about their business. Some will allow the seed to grow, but then they complain the whole 9 months. But even when that mother complained, and she didn't abort that baby, there was something in her heart that said, I can't. I can't. Because the love of Christ gripped her heart. Because in order for that baby to grow, there has to be a certain amount of love that penetrates. Because let's just say, if you're planting something, and I'll use the watermelon because it just kind of resembles that roundness of the mother's belly. And you plant that seed, and that seed is planted inside of your garage, in a pot, in the dirt, and just sitting there. And you never go out and water it. You never let the sun shine on it. It don't even get the wind. It's just sitting there. That seed is not going to grow. So no matter what that mother thinks about that pregnancy, that seed cannot grow without a certain amount of love. Now, does that love have to come always from the mother? Hopefully, there's a certain amount of love she's giving that baby anyway, because she's going to have a moment when she stops and think, oh, wow, she's going to feel her belly. She's going to say, oh, my goodness, she's going to recognize I'm pregnant. And in the moment, there, in a split second, there's going to be a certain amount of love as she places her hands on her stomach and the realization that I am carrying a human in my belly. I am going to be a mother. There's a certain amount of love that's going to generate just through that thought, even if it's in between her doubts of, can I be a mother? Am I able to raise a child? You know, oh, God, what is going to happen? I don't know what I'm going to do. But there's a certain amount of love that is penetrated to that child. But the, and then it makes you think, when you see a child come, now this is just not pointing the finger, but I'm just thinking from the top, if you just visualize it, that if you see a child that's born, that they say, well, the child has not fully developed, you know, you wonder, did the child get enough love to fulfill the growth? But then again, it could be like the apostles when they asked Jesus, you know, whose fault is it that this man is blind? Is it his mother, his father? Who is it? And Jesus said, it's neither. You know, it happened because God wanted to get the glory. So it could be that that baby was undernourished or needed to stay in there so God could get the nurse and people could say, wow, look at you. When you were born, you were just 2 pounds, and look at you now. Because, see, God gets the glory. So you can look at it both ways. I remember a cousin of mine, and they were telling the story. He's older than me. But they were telling the story of his birth. And his mother, after he was born, he weighed actually 2 pounds. And she said, I don't want him. She was afraid of him. What am I going to do with him? He's 2 pounds. And when I was older than me, he was just about maybe 2 or 3 years older than me. And so my Aunt Sarah said, I'll take him. She had no children of her own. She said, I'll take him, give him to me. And she said, you can have him. So my Aunt Sarah took him, 2 pounds. And she put him in the middle of a pillow. And she fed him out of those little drops. She does whatever she fed him in the milk, she would drop it in his mouth with the drops. And then all of a sudden, he grew up to be this little big-headed boy, we used to call him, because he could whistle like you wouldn't believe. And when he got about 5 or 6 years old, his mother came back and said she wanted him back. And my aunt said, no, you can't have him back. See, because she had put in the love. She stayed up with him all night and watched him. She kept him. She held him. She fed him. She brought him through the grace of God and prayer. And then now you want him back? She said, no, no, no. You can't have him back. And he grew up to be a very productive man and not a little person either. Probably about 5'11". Just grew up from 2 pounds. But that's what I'm talking about when I say life and love. Those two come together. And then she was talking about the third L, laughter. And when I heard her say laughter, and I'm thinking, yeah, laughter is, you know, he said, laughter is medicine for the soul. You know, laughter is good. And, you know, okay, I could see laughter, you know, because I'm thinking while she's talking, I said, okay, you know, because every once in a while I go find me something, a comedian that's not really cursing and carrying on, but somebody just really funny. Let's go, I want to watch something funny. I just want to laugh. I want to laugh because it does shake up and vibrate your organs on the inside. When you feel yourself tired, when you feel yourself that, you know, you don't have enough energy, go get something and laugh. Laugh. Or if you're a dancer, dance. Whatever it is that brings your vibrations up. Because if you sink too low, then illnesses and diseases can overtake you. Bring your vibrations up. Just laugh. Turn around and dance. Whatever it is you up. So I'm thinking laughter is good. But then she looked at it from another perspective. She said, you know, laughter is good when it's laughter with love. But laughter without love is evil. And I thought, wow, that's good. Laughter without love is evil. Why? Because if you're laughing at someone because they fell or because there's a hardship or because there is something that somebody told you about them and y'all gonna make a joke about it and all of that, that is evil. And that's what brings about negativity to you. That's what stops blessings. That's what will keep you from hearing the word of God, because you're hardening your heart. You're laughing at someone, their fight. No matter what it is, they're fighting to get out of that. It's nothing for you to laugh at. My daughter showed me something about one of my nieces that went viral on Facebook. She was coming out, and when I heard it, I said, I'm not going to laugh. I will not laugh. And I saw it, and I'm telling you, I ended up laughing. I mean, laughing till we cried. And so Angie said when she, Angie's my daughter, when she got in touch with us, she said, Tanya, what? Tanya, and I thought it happened just a few days ago, but it happened. She said it was last year, and she just reposted it, and it went viral again. She was coming out the door, her and her mother, and her mother was standing, you know, like to the side so she could come out the door, and all of a sudden this snake came out. And when she saw the snake, she took off running, fell out of her flip-flops, fell on the cement floor, and the snake was coming behind her. And so she's laughing, and I'm thinking, Lord. But you see, like she said, I put it back up because I thought it was funny. But the point was, it wasn't laughing because she hurt us. Because I told Angie, I said, if we'd seen that snake, we'd have been doing the same thing. Because you know you could see yourself in it. That's a different kind of laughter. But if you're laughing at somebody out of spite, then that's evil. And then she talked about labor. Labor. When you are laboring with love, you don't feel like you're working. Because when you're doing something because you love what you do, you see the benefit of what you do. You see the effects of what you do. Then you can do it continuously without getting tired. even though you know you need to rest, but you could keep going. But laboring because you know you have to, it's taxing on your heart, on your lungs, on your legs, on your body, on your mind. It will wear your body out. Well, I don't know. I just got to go to this job. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I just don't like the people on the job. And you know, it's treacherous. You know, you just, I don't want to do it. And you go in and you're mean and you're hateful and you don't love it. You're just doing it because you got to get a paycheck. You got to pay for 30 more days at your place. You know, you, every time you pay your rent, you get 30 more days. You know, well, I got to pay for the next 30 days. Whew, you make your rent payment. Well, I got a place for 30 days. I might starve to death in here, but I got a place to starve in for the next 30 days. Yeah, treacherous. But if you're doing it out of love and you can see what you're doing is beneficial to somebody else, it doesn't wear your body out. It doesn't wear your mind out. Even though you know in your heart and soul you need to back it up some, because I'm one of those, I love what I do. That's why I can stay up all day and all night and do it. And that's why I said, you know, what I do it because it's me. It's like my whole total being, mothers and daughters and the things that I'm doing. And I'm just like, yeah, just God just got me producing babies, And it looks like, you know, the fruits are just, you know, I see the buds on the trees. The buds are on the trees. The buds is on the trees, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I see them forming. They got little teeny beads now, you know, like a cherry tree. You come out with a blossom, cherry blossoms, and it goes through its period of time, and now you got the little knots on there, look like a little teeny green something that's going to turn into a cherry. Well, that's where we are now. It's got the little green balls on there now, getting ready to get that love from the sunshine, get that love from blessings that God is showing upon us, that is going to develop this bud into a nice ripe cherry, and then all of a sudden it's going to produce a fruit that can be ate and enjoyed by others. That's where we are. That's what's happening. But see, the vineyards are large and the laborers are few. And whatever you're doing, sometimes you feel like you're doing it by yourself. You feel like you got one or two people there with you. If you got one or two people, Lord knows you're blessed. That's why I call myself blessed. Deborah and Cynthia get up every Saturday morning. If they're God, don't send them someplace else. And we get on here and we are blessed to do this. I'm blessed that they even heard the Lord to do it. We all working for God. And then I think that was the last, there was another L. That was it. I think that's it. I'm trying to think. Yeah, labor was the last one. So when you're talking about how is your love life, mothers and daughters, look at these areas and see, are we laughing together with love? You've already gave a love to bring into life, but are you living life, loving the life that you brought into this earth? Are you watching over that life? Are you helping that life to continue to grow? Are you still shining the sunlight and the giving her the water that she needs and the hugs that she needs and the conversations that she needs and the wisdom that she needs and the help of strategizing and whatever it is that human needs? You still have that life, and you have to pour love in it to help it to grow. Remember, she's coming behind you, not ahead of you, just like you're behind your mother. And we have to pour in. I pour in to Angie every day. We're going to talk, and we're going to talk about stuff that matters. We're going to laugh about stuff that we talk about my mother. We just laugh, make ourselves laugh. We talk about something that play a joke on each other. We just, you know, that's the love. You've got to keep pouring in love. You got to. And then you got to laugh with them. And you got to help them when they are laboring. Teach them how to labor with love. Baby, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Make sure you, whatever you decide to do, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you might want to change jobs. Let her know what it was like to struggle when you were struggling. Let her know. And you may not have found your
laughter in your labor. You may have to go back and examine, why am I still on this job for 20 years? This is not what I wanted to do. Are you going to leave here or get to 80 years old and look back and find out I labored all my life? I have nothing to show for it, not even the joy in my heart. Come on now. Come on. Have faith in God. Trust what he put in you. When you relax, it will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. Whew. Mothers and daughters, how is your love life? You've got to love each other. That's the one commandment, the last commandment that God sent to us through his son. Love ye one another as you love yourself. And if I can love Cynthia the way I love myself, and I can love Deborah the way I love myself, then God is pleased. But if I don't love them the way I love myself, then you might say, well, why would you love them the way you love yourself? You should love yourself better than you love them. Because we're one in Christ. If I do something wrong to Cynthia, I'm doing it wrong to me. If I do something wrong with Deborah, I'm doing it wrong to me. Because what I do is going to come back to me. That's the catch right there. You think you're getting by with it, but I guarantee you, it's up the road waiting on you. So keep that in mind. Thank you. All right, Deborah, what are your take?
Wow. Yep. Love is the answer. And so I'm coming from 1 Corinthians 13. And I was just reading this week. When you say the topic, I said, ooh, that's fresh. I just went through this passage. You know, having love is not a verbal thing. It's an action thing. So love is patient. It's kind, does not envy or boast. And so I was sitting there analyzing, doing an inter-me inspection to see if I could check off some stuff, not just with favored people, but difficult people that seem to come in our path on this journey, you know? And so I realized that I had a spot there. That's okay, Lord. Yeah, there's something. There's a speck of spot there. So help me, because I'm willing to, you know, work in that area. So when we talk about love, we talk about, you know, loving people. And again, it's not the people that's easy to love. For me, it's the people that get under my like they say, just get under my skin. How they work their way up under that, they do. And it's usually the people that I see probably every day when I'm working, that I can't avoid, that I don't get to pick who's there, and I don't get to pick who I communicate with, don't get to pick who I service, but I got to be able to be the same across the board. Yes, some you got a little more favor with because you got a different relationship, but I love them all. But there's days when I ain't kind, right? Say love is patient. There's days when I ain't got patience. So when I looked at that, I just stopped right there. I said, Lord, now you know I've been running out of patience with Billy Bob and Jane Doe, and I'm willing to, because my heart is I really want to love people. I want to love everybody. I mean, I don't want to hold them because it's not a good feeling when I'm not loving. It's not a good feeling when I'm not forgiving. It's not a good feeling when I'm not kind. When I done had an episode from zero, I don't go to 100 no more. I don't go to 10. I'm on 0 to 5, and they not as frequent as they used to be. So I see God is working because I'm willing. And so I don't want to get on here and act like that I got the love all across the board down pat. No, it's a working process for me. Mm-hmm. I'm willing. Mm-hmm. I want to love. Even with my sister, sometimes we was having a spat, I put it in my heart that I would go the extra mile. And so this is what I did tell you earlier. What I did was I went up Wednesday out of the blue, and I had got something for her. We're doing some yard work, long story short. And she says, you're going to come up on a Wednesday? When I go to church Sunday right by our house. She say, you're going to come up on a Wednesday? You're going to make a special trip? I say, because you're special. Went up there. We had about 2-3 hours together, ended up going to see Mom, and that was a whole other thing. Mom got dressed, ran out the house, 9 o'clock at night. I said, your husband, what are you doing? She's so excited that on a Wednesday night. So it turned out to be a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? And I told her, I said, you're special to me. I'll make a special trip. But it turned out to be a beautiful visit. And so because I'm willing not to be having art for what? I don't know, but I'm willing to go the next mile. I'm willing to stretch myself with not just people that I love, but people, again, that they so lovable. I'm willing. So God is talking about, how's your love life? My love life is a work in process. My heart is saying I want to love everybody, but between my mind and my heart, they don't always get the command, and the actions come out some type of way. But I just said, Lord, you know that in my heart, I really don't have no ill feelings towards this person. I got to accept that their characteristics are different from what I preferred them to be. Who am I to write their path of life? Who am I to say who they supposed to be? God say, remember, I love you, and you ain't always, and you still got some specs. Come on now. So that's what helps me, is I put myself in the place when I'm trying to look at people and trying to love people, and I look at how God loved me every time I miss them all. When I fall short, God still loved me. He don't treat me no kind of way. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to do it your way, but I need you to help me, because sometimes it seems like it's impossible. But I press on because I know that's the command. Like you say, the greatest command is that you love one another. Love you like I love me. It's hard. Because I love me, right? And so I said, God, help me work it out. So, I don't want to sound like, oh, I got it all mapped out down here on earth. No. It's every day. I'm trying not to be rude. I'm not a rude person. But there's the potential for me to be rude when I'm rubbed the wrong way. So I get irritable, and then it might come out. So that means it's in there. So I said, God, it's in there. I need you to help me work it out, because it's not my will for it to be in there, I mean in my heart. I want to do what 1 Corinthians say, be patient, be kind. I ain't in this. I ain't boasting. I got those things down pat, the boasting and the brag. I got those things down pat. Or at least, according to God, I'm doing pretty good in those areas. But it's the patience and the kindness right there, the first two. I don't want to sit some wrong way. Okay, I got that, but if I ain't got it all, I ain't got it all. It's like it talks about if you could, you know, you could tell mysteries and you could prophesy and you could speak in tongues and all that, but if you ain't got love, you like a symbol, just making a whole bunch of noise. And so I said, Lord, I don't want to be making a whole bunch of noise. Let me love. So I got to do it through God giving me strength, because, again, some people might find me difficult. Some people might find me irritating. So they tolerate me, or at least they probably try to tolerate me. So I'm saying, God, help me. It's my will. I want to be loving to people that rub me wrong. I want to be patient when I'm irritable. I want to be. So teach me how to continue to let the love flow from you. Because we ain't talking about the romantic love. The love of God flow to me. It's to me. It's coming from God, and let it flow through me. Don't let it stop at me. Let it be. Let it ricochet. Let it everywhere I go. Let it roll off on the person. Let it be contagious, right? And so that's where I'm at in my relationship. Lord, there's a spot. Help me cleanse it.
Amen. Wow, that's good, Deborah. That's good. That's the honesty. That's what I like about the show, is that when we come on with our honesty, you know, and just that happened to me, and you know, when someone come at me, Bessie Mae wants to jump up and say some things, because the old person, I would have chewed them up, get one side and down the other,
and thought nothing about it after because I know I didn't do nothing to you. Now, I'm not going to mess with anybody, but I'm not going to let you talk to me crazy. But I've had someone talk to me, and what happened is that the Holy Spirit said, don't say nothing. And I'm like, Lord, don't say nothing. When somebody talking to you and talking down to you and you can't say nothing, then what happened? I cry. And I'm not a person, I can cry with sympathy over somebody's situation at the drop of a bucket, but I don't cry when you make me mad or if you attack me. But if I cry, if you attack me, then that means what? The Holy Spirit hold my mouth and the only thing that comes out is tears from my eyes because I have to hold my peace and I have to get into that love. Regardless of how the person is talking to me, I had to get into this love. And afterward, I said, Lord, why would you do that? I mean, why would you let me not say nothing? He said, because if you said something, then I couldn't do anything about it. But if you humble yourself, I will take care of it. I will take care of it. But I can't take care of it if you have already taken care of it. And so when you were talking, that came to my mind is because what? I'm being taught the process of patience and love. And that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do. But I'm being taught. Thank you for that, Deborah. That was good. Whew. You there? Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here.
Okay. All right, Cynthia. Jump in here.
All right, ladies. Let's take it on home. Let's take it on home. If you're not loving, you're not living. And if you're not learning and laboring for God, you're stagnant, which breeds sadness because you feel the pressures of life. And if the pressure of life is working you, it is stealing your joy, which robs you of love, life, and laughter. End of story. And that's really why we can't love the way God has told us to love, because like Deborah said, we lose patience not only with people, we lose patience with ourselves. And when you cannot find patience with yourself in your own error, because God knows we are going to error because it's just human nature, then how are you going to have patience with somebody else when they error? And when you can't find love for God, to love God and love others is only possible when you understand that he loved us first. And when we don't love, when we don't recognize that, if we're not aware of that, then all God's one command is to love him and love others. And everything else falls into place. And if we're missing those two things, then it's not impossible, but it's almost impossible to do this thing God way, where we have patience and kindness and not think of it as something we're doing, but knowing that it came from God. He is the one who gives us this love inside of us that we can love beyond ourselves. Love is not rude. Love is don't laugh at people when they hurt themselves. It does not insist on our own way. It is not irritable. We don't get irritable with people when somebody calls us out or try to make us feel bad, as Dr. Fletcher said, by talking down to us. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, retaliating, if you will. God says the vengeance is mine. It will steal your joy if you don't do it God's way. And if you're not learning or laboring in God, then what are you doing? And why are you doing it? Like Dr. Fletcher said, you're doing it for a paycheck, and that's why you're miserable. I tell my students and clients, never take a job for the money. Take the job for the experience. Life is an experience. Life is a journey. If you do it God's way, the journey is going to be much easier. And all of these things, these five L's, is just going to come natural to you. Life is supposed to be natural. Love is supposed to be natural. And God tell us how to do it. But when we decide to do it our way and we're miserable and we go to work every day and we tell ourselves we hate the job. Well, guess what? You're going to feel every, it's like being on the airplane and you feel every air pocket. You're going to feel everything that's happening when you do it this way, when you do it your way, out of love, evil, as Dr. Fletcher put it. And you can find, and when you can find laughter in other people's pain, that's a problem. I see what's going on with the TV, used to be famous TV co-star in the morning, Wendy Williams, and I'm praying for her. And I know people are on Instagram laughing at her, and I'm praying for her that God will restore her mind and not let people exploit her, because they're not loving on her. They're exploiting her. Why would you videotape something that's going on with her and it's not good and put it on Facebook, on Instagram? That's evil, because we're not doing it God's way. We're not loving on her. We're not praying for her. And therefore, it gives us joy in the Lord when we know that he loved us first. And because he loved us first, he gave us instructions how to love others. If you do it his way, guys, mothers and daughters, your love life is going to be amazing. You're going to be able to love on your children, even in their errors. You're going to be able to love them past whatever it is that they're not doing according to how you think they should be doing it. Let them live their life, and everything else is going to fall into place. Love God, love others. It's possible when we do it according to 1 Corinthians 13. Thank you for letting me share. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on our own ways. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hope in all things, endure all things. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, you're welcome. That's good. That's good. Oh, my God. While you were doing that and I was listening to you and the Holy Spirit said, pull up her name, because I don't want to talk about something. She's 103 years old. Her name is Dr. Gladys McGregory, McGregory, and I mean, she's strong.
Wow.
The first time I heard about her, when I met her, she was 102, and she was talking about love and had a friend. She was talking about her friend, the man that was in her life. I'm like, well, you go ahead, Dr. Gladys. Hey, that's some hope for me. You know, and I'm like 102, and she said yes. It, she said, people say to me, well, why would you have a friend at 102? Because love is what will keep you alive.
Amen.
Love will keep you alive. You know, everybody, every human needs someone loving. You need to have another human being that you draw energy from. And
amen.
I think that's a lot of times why we run into sadness and stuff, because we unbalanced.
Amen.
So anyway.
My mentor when I was in mental health, and she trained me in mental health. She is in her 70s and she is getting married today.
Well, all right. Good news. I'll check
she
that out.
Getting married today
tell
at 3 o'clock.
Tell I say congratulations. All right, ladies, that's our
I
show.
Will.
We gotta
I
go.
Will.
Love you. It was awesome. Even though
love
I was
guys.
So on the prayer and I didn't know if I heard God or not, but I know now without
Amen.
A shadow of a doubt, this is what we were supposed to talk about. Praise God. Thank you.
Amen.
Jesus.
And.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact
matriarchnow.com. That's MatriarchNow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
That's it, ladies. We'll see you next week.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, audience.